it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. It's time to wake on up. Wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Yep, no doubt about that as they find Jennings running free. Juwan Jennings going to take it in for a San Francisco touchdown. 42 yards from Jones to Jennings for six.
Yeah.
Kevin Kugler on the call, Fox Sports. And no Purdy, no Kittle.
Screw that.
No problem for the San Francisco 49ers, who moved to 2-0. Two massive road wins to start off this season. One in a 1 o'clock slate against your division rival. But this one, listen, we knew it wasn't going to be easy, even though I said it might have been a blowout. And we're not going to talk about that. But they won the game. That's all that matters. And for a team that we knew was going to fight through a lot of adversity heading into this one, first and foremost with a backup quarterback, Joe, as I say good morning to you, it's a hell of a win. Early start time, the Superdome gets loud, it's early in the season, you don't know much about other teams, and for them to win the way that they did, and Mac Jones, quite frankly, to look at the way he did, relax. I know he had the fumble, and it wasn't a good play. I knew it wasn't going to be perfect, and it wasn't perfect. But it was a total team win. Kind of like what we were talking about last week. Another total team victory. Upton Stout getting his first career sack. Luke Farrell getting his first career touchdown. Every single person's fingerprints was on this win, Joe. And it was refreshing to watch.
Yeah, you know, I've got so many gripes with Shanahan over the years. When you coach for 9 years, you know, you're going to build up a lot of little intricacies that drive you crazy, even if you're great.
That's crazy. 9 years.
I know.
It's actually insane.
Like, Steve Kerr is an all-time legend in the sport of basketball. There's only so many coaches to win multiple, let alone 3-4 championships. So I look at someone like Belichick, who is one of the greatest coaches of all time. And yet he has little intricacies that I think drove Patriot fans insane. Doesn't mean that he wasn't great. It's just this is how you analytically criticize and critique someone who is of that ilk. I look at Shanahan and I've got so many gripes and so many, but you know what? Not yesterday. Yesterday is the kind of win that a great coach wins. And he is a great coach. And you can say he's not one of the best. He hasn't won a Super Bowl. Fine. That's fine. We can disagree on this. Great coaches win that game. Here's why great coaches win that game. Your franchise quarterback's out. Your Hall of Fame tight end is out. You got a left tackle who's a game-time decision. In the middle of that game, you lost your fullback. And we know the fullback's important to this offense. In the middle of that game, you lost your left guard. And we know that left guard is extremely important. It's early in the season. You don't even know who you are. You're a team and a roster in transition. You're on the road. Now, you can say the Saints suck. And I'll buy that. They might end up sucking when the year's all said and done. But it's still an NFL team. You have a brand new kicker. You have a young defense in transition with a coordinator who was already a head coach. And you're facing someone who was on your staff last year in Brandon Staley, who has great feel for your personnel, your team philosophy, and your schemes. And you win that game with the backup quarterback. Great coaches do that. That's what Andy Reid would do. That's what Belichick would do. Yep. That's what Bill Walsh would do. Now, you're not in that elk yet. You haven't won a Super Bowl. I understand that. I'm not here to say he's a top five all-timer. That's not what I'm saying. The great coaches always win those types of games when all the laundry list of items that I just rattled off to you are going against you. And to do it passing with Mac Jones, I don't think Brandon Allen wins that game, who was your backup last year. Yep. You drop back 25 times in the first half. And I think part of that was you believe in Mac Jones. And I think the other part of that is, you know, Brandon Staley is going to be keyed in on trying to stop Christian McCaffrey. Let me continue on why that was such a great win for Shanahan. In the red zone, what do we complain about? What do we just lose our minds? It's not creative. The touchdown pass with the 2-minute drive before halftime, he rolls Christian McCaffrey into the slot and does an in and out pass. And that was similar to the pass Kaepernick in that same stadium couldn't complete over a decade ago with the Super Bowl on the line. And Mac Jones threw a feathery, perfect touch pass over the top with enough arm strength, leading Christian McCaffrey for a touchdown, which they desperately needed. Beautiful clock management by not just Mac Jones, but by Shanahan, by the team as a whole, and utilizing your position players perfectly. How many times have we said, boy, it'd be nice to use Christian McCaffrey in the passing game as a wide receiver? Third down. It's 3rd and 10. This is before the Jennings touchdown. You see Christian McCaffrey in the backfield, and he kind of motions out, but he still has the depth of as if he was a running back in the shotgun. And he runs a clear out and busts out to the sideline on like a comeback play. And Mac Jones threw an absolute perfect ball to him. How about throwing to a Ricky Pearsall, a young wide receiver?
He's a dog, man.
Young wide receiver over and over again on 3rd down and long.
I love Ricky.
Feathery touch passes. Look, we're going to talk a lot about Mac Jones. We're going to talk a lot about Robert Saleh and Ricky Pearsall and all the different players who made contributions in this game. That was a signature victory early in the season to go 2-0 with an NFC that's wide open. Kyle Shanahan, what a victory yesterday for him.
And he got to keep pace in a tough NFC West where the Rams, 2-0. Right? The Cardinals, 2-0. The Seahawks with a big win yesterday, bouncing back from week one loss to San Francisco. You got to keep pace within your own division. And isn't it funny how it works out? After 2 weeks and everyone's saying this might be the worst division in football, it's like, oh, I don't know. Last year, it only took 10 games to win. It's like, let's all take a step back. We all know what the worst division in football is. It is the NFC South. That being said, I actually gained a lot more respect for the Saints after this game in a weird way.
I did too.
Because I didn't think Spencer Rattler played bad or poor. I know he doesn't have a win as a starting quarterback, and we all want to make fun
of
him
scrappy.
For that. But he had some dimes yesterday. I thought he could have used his legs actually a little bit more. I'm shocked he didn't. Alvin Kamara is still that dude. And by the way, there's going to be a team out there that's going to be like trying to push for the playoffs. It's going to trade for him. And he could be the difference of making the playoffs or not.
I think he's got major juice.
I said something to you before the show that I actually thought was insane looking at Alvin Kamara's career. You know, he's never had a 1,000-yard rushing season ever. He's been in the league since 2017.
That's impossible.
Ever. Alvin Kamara has never rushed for 1,000 yards. It's insane. His closest was 950 in 2024. He did almost have 100 yesterday. He had 99. So if you have him in fantasy, you didn't get that extra bump. So you're a little upset. But he's still that dude. Now, the thing with Alvin Kamara is kind of similar to Christian McCaffrey is the workload. How much of that workload is going to, you know, deteriorate him as it goes forward? But that was the conversation we were having this time last week, Joe, was that workload for Christian McCaffrey.
Did you see what they said on the broadcast?
What'd they say?
31 touches last week for McCaffrey was the most of any player in the league.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Well, I thought Bijan for sure would have had more considering I saw yesterday. I didn't know that either.
That kind of like, whoa, I like went backwards. I liked the way CMC ran in this game. Though he didn't have robust, you know, yardage as a runner, I thought Christian McCaffrey looked way more explosive. The jump cuts, the power, the burst, the vision through the hole. There weren't a lot of running room areas. And I thought he did a really, really good job in this game. I mean, obviously, he's a phenomenal wide receiver, pass catcher. But I thought his running, though the numbers don't like look eye-popping, rewatching the game back, I thought he looked great.
And again, back-to-back week, he's your reception leader. First week, it was Christian McCaffrey with the most receptions on the team. Second week,
yes,
6 receptions for Christian McCaffrey. I told everyone, I wasn't lying when I said, if this guy wanted to just be a slot receiver full-time, he'd be a pro bowler at that position. Hell, look at his brother, Luke McCaffrey, who's a baller last year for the Washington Commanders.
And let's get to Mac Jones. All right,
please.
So I think there's a lot to be said on Mac Jones. And there's so many elements to this game. I thought it was a fascinating game. If you're just a Niner fan, like just the optimism is oozing. Even though there are things to work on and there are little stuff that they're going to have to clean up, your optimism has to be oozing right now. Brock Purdy's the franchise quarterback. We all understand that. You just found out this morning, if you're just waking up, Joe Burrow's going to be out for 3 months with this toe injury.
And he's having surgery for it.
You know, Joe Burrow is is a great player, but injury concerns are real. And clearly these toes, these feet, these are serious, serious injuries. With Mac playing as well as he did yesterday, it buys you time for Brock Purdy. We're not jumping the gun. We're not going to get into quarterback controversies. You paid the guy $50-something million, but the way Mac Jones played yesterday, the way Kyle called that game yesterday, the way the wide receivers responded, the throws he made on third down over and over and over again, his ability to stretch the ball down the field, to throw beyond the numbers over and over and over again. I thought Mac looked amazing. And I owe this guy an apology. You know, I was very critical of Mac Jones coming out. I didn't think he was worth trading three picks and moving up to go select. If you were going to take him, my theory was from the beginning, you stand pat if you wanted to take him. I didn't think anyone was going to jump you to go get him.
But you could understand just after this game why Kyle Shanahan would be enamored with him. You could see
Joe.
You could see it in that offense, it working. Now, no one's saying, as you said, it's a quarterback controversy.
No,
this is Brock's job.
I thought Brock was awesome. I mean, Brock's been awesome. But yesterday, Mac was great.
He was.
For a backup?
26 of 39, three touchdowns. He did have the lost fumble there. He held on for it for too long. But again, like, it was refreshing to see Kyle Shanahan have belief in his quarterback throwing the ball. Hell, the first three plays, it wasn't even to Christian McCaffrey running the ball. It was all three passes. Now, it was a three and out, but you quickly learned right there, if you're Mac Jones, okay, this guy trusts me with the ball in my hands going forward to throw the ball, to, you know, get it to Juwan Jennings. Hey, his guy Kendrick Bourne that he had a repertoire with out in New England, former Niner, had a couple catches there. It would matter. Ricky Pearsall, again, four receptions, 56 yards. Some big third down conversions with the arm, Joe, and Juwan Jennings. Welcome back, Juwan. Five receptions, 89 yards.
The thing that I noticed from Mac Jones, look, I could see why everyone liked him. And you know, I've been really critical. I thought he was a turnover machine. I thought he was staring people down, I thought, was a thing that he did a lot in New England. And look, the reality is their playmakers obviously deteriorated.
His coaching.
Well, that's the coaching's
awful,
extremely
Joe.
Important.
That's what I kept saying last week. Like, you move off of Josh McDaniels,
no
who
doubt.
I think we could all agree is a well-respected offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he's a great play caller.
Exactly. You move off of him after his rookie season, where you do go to the playoffs, and he does look legit, like a rookie of the year kind of a candidate. He looked great. And then you go on, if you're Bill Belichick, and bring in a guy that has no offensive calling experience in Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, like both of them, and that turns into a dumpster fire. They all get canned. You move on to be a backup in Jacksonville. Oh, Doug Peterson's bringing you in. He gets canned. He had no chance at succeeding after his rookie year. None. I even argued it last week, Joe, on Friday with Sam. I was like, you know, had they switched positions, Brock Purdy and Mac Jones, if you just were to switch their positions, I could see them having very similar career arcs because of, you know what, where you land matters in all of this.
He was born to play in this offense.
Yeah. I mean,
you could see it.
The proof is in the pudding right there. And I want to hear from the people today, 888-957-9570. It's a Victory Monday. It's all about you. There's no guests. You are the guests. 888-957-9570. You're 2-0 to start the season, Niner fans. And you won in week two with a backup quarterback. And now you're going home against a division rival, the Arizona Cardinals, next week. That place is going to be on fire. So, you're going to be at Levi's next week, Joe? You're going to be fired up.
Michelle's arguing with me. I really want to bring LJ to that game, even though it's going to be like 1,000 degrees.
I'll just lather them up in their zinc oxide, whatever.
They're wearing white tops with gold bottoms for the first time ever at home during a regular season game.
Good. Well,
they
learned their lesson from last year, Joe, when they tried to pivot to the whites.
Wore the old
when
whites.
It was 100 degrees against the Cardinals last year.
Look, today's not the day. But there is, you know, and I'm like an obsessive salary cap guy, team building guy. I love that, like, team building. We talk
you
about,
do.
You know, why is the Jake Moody thing so frustrating? Because you spent a third rounder on him, right? Why was I so critical of Mitch Wisnowski? You spent a fourth rounder on a punter, for Christ's sake. Like, what are we doing?
Right.
You know? There is an element later on this week that I will explore. Today's not the day. But, like, Brock's really good. Deserved a big pay raise. He's making $42 million in cash this year. Now, it's the way it hits the cap, and you can roll it over, and you can adjust things. Mac Jones is getting less than $4 million in cash. I didn't see $35-plus million cash vast discrepancy of play yesterday. That being said, their style of play is extremely different. You know, Brock is going to scramble more. Brock's going to make, you know, some busted plays. And you know, I don't know if Mac Jones throws a touchdown pass in the final minute against Seattle the way Brock did last week. I don't know. I think he would have been peppered, Mac Jones, in that game the week before. But if I'm asking, like, Mac make it four, and I could spread around the other $30 million. Like, I do think that it's something to ponder. Not this morning. I'm not saying they made the wrong decision or whatever, but it does make you think. And I thought Mac looked, he didn't just look good yesterday. I thought he looked great. Now, he held the ball a little long on multiple plays. One of them was the strip sack, and he's got to learn from that. I thought he looked a little frenetic early on, and he even admitted that he had some nervousness. And let's see how he plays week after week after week when people are game planning for you. It's a one-time thing. We'll see if he even starts this weekend. Brock might be healthy, and he gets the run, and he goes back out there. But this is why you think about it long and hard when you pay someone $150 million.
I'm not a GM, even though I'd love to be one.
I'm not trying to make a quarterback controversy. Right, Joe, I believe in my heart of hearts Brock is a better quarterback, all things being considered, than Mac Jones. But I do also, like, take a step back and I go, is he $35 million better this year? I don't know. Like, that's a different question. But for one game, Mac looked great. And that throw that he made to Juwan Jennings that everyone's going to talk about, if you didn't get glimpses of Brady standing in the pocket, waiting and anticipating that Jennings would hit that seam and he would throw that guy open into the very next window, I mean, that was a Brady-like throw. And he had a cannon. No, he stretched the field on a throw over the top, and it was like, I'd like to see him do that more, quite frankly. Yeah. And he threw some balls beyond the numbers multiple times. But to me, it was the feathery touch to Pearsall on third down coming across the middle. It was the feathery touch to Christian McCaffrey on a couple of little quick hitters. He made some unbelievable throws. And again, I'm just going to say, like, Mac, I apologize. I was wrong. You could play in this league. I don't know where, but you could play in this league.
He's absolutely like a legitimate NFL quarterback. The question is going to be going forward, the consistency.
No doubt.
Do it again. Like, no doubt. There's a reason.
That's all these guys.
Exactly. Well, for backups in particular, if you do it again, and let's say Brock is out the maximum 5 weeks, and you go 4-1 in that span, okay, you're probably going to have like a legit job next year as being a starter, or at least in the conversation.
So, did you watch the Dallas doc?
Absolutely.
Okay, so
that was the first one on there, brother.
Everybody's going to talk about Niners and like Joe Montana, Steve Young, and Steve got his first big break because Joe got hurt, right? And we all know the history of, you know, Jeff Garcia got his first big break because Steve Young got hurt.
Colin Kaepernick
and Alex Smith. Like, it goes on and on and on. And we know that Brock got his first big break because someone got hurt. You always need an opportunity. We're not there yet, but the reason I bring up the Dallas thing is sometimes it buys you time to get your quarterback, who you have invested a lot of money in, fully healthy. And we don't want to have a headline like we have this morning where Joe Burrow's out for 3 months because of a toe. Why rush Brock back? And if Mac can be sufficient and buy them time, I think it's the best of both worlds. Devoid of quarterback controversy, he looked good.
And we haven't even brought up, like, the guy that I think all Niner fans are feeling and thinking about right now. Robert Saleh. I mean, God, what a night and day difference with this defense and the young players coming of age right before ours. I saw Micah Williams make plays yesterday. I saw Upton Stout get a sack yesterday. By the way, Fred Warner, God, he's unbelievable. We'll get into it on the other side. We're up against it.
I thought Saleh was brilliant yesterday, and this defense is a work in progress. I want to continue talking about it.
Shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Finance with the dealer. And as always, coming live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. David, Duke, aloha. We'll get to all of you. 888-957-9570 is the number to get involved. 49ers improved to 2-0 on the season. Mac Jones, 1-0 on the season. Brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know, the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He bends around the corner. It reminds me of D Ford. He's a speed rusher. He's not a like stuff the run guy. He is a specific speed rusher bending around the edge. That final play on 4th and 2, which preceded an unbelievable pass breakup by Fred Warner, or succeeded by that. What a sequence. Here's the thing on Robert Saleh for me. He shows mixed fronts, and on 3rd down, you don't know who's blitzing, who's dropping, what coverage is coming. On the back end, have you seen any giant mixed communications or miscommunications or guys being wide open, a blown assignment?
Have I seen Oren Burks types of performances from this Niners defense, a la Oren Burks in the Super Bowl a couple years ago? No, I have not.
So we could argue about, hey, like Siegel, you know, got burned by a touchdown. I thought he was in position to make a play. Upton Stout and Renardo Green, yeah, guys made some really nice catches on them. I thought they were in position to make plays. To me, if you're in position to make a play, that tells me the coach knows, like, on the back end, what coverages to mix and match against which particular routes that are coming, and they're guessing properly. I think that the blending of the pass rush with the back end coverages is on point, and that's on Robert Saleh. I think he's been awesome.
And again, they had like an absolute dime in this game, that being New Orleans Saints, Spencer Rattler to Juwan Johnson, who couldn't catch anything prior to that.
No.
And of course, he catches that one with the shin down and everything. There was nothing Marquis Siegel do about that. That was just an absolute dime. Sometimes you got to tip your cap, and you tip your cap there to Spencer Rattler, who, again, I came away impressed with the Saints. I know they're 0-2. They're probably going to have a top five pick. They're probably going to stink a lot. But I saw a lot of talent. Who's that? Carl Granderson? No. I'm going to give them their credit because we don't like to do that in today's society. Either you suck or you're really good. There's no nuance in this, and they're probably going to be bad. But you know what? Kellen Moore, he was showing some schemes in that offense. I was impressed there. And Carl Granderson on the defensive line. My goodness. And for Connor Colby to step up the way he did when Ben Bartsch went down, I think spoke volumes to it. Again, Marquis Siegel, Renardo Green, Upton Stout, Connor Colby now. There's going to be some growing pains. It's not going to be perfect. There's going to be some bad penalties. There's going to be some missed assignments. But I want to see the flashes. And I saw a lot of flashes yesterday,
yeah,
Joe, that got me so excited about this team.
How about the D-winners phenomenon that's happened through two games? He has made some unbelievable open field tackles. That's number one. But number two, he is so physical. Such a sure physical player that it has me going, how did this guy not get on the field last year? Was he that bad? Like, I'm asking sincerely. Was he that bad last year? And was the drop-off between whatever he knew or didn't know or whatever, was it that big of a drop-off between him and Devondre Campbell that he couldn't get on the field last year?
No, you know the problem was. It was your defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen. Like, that was the problem.
It's that simple.
No, he didn't want any drama. You bring in Devondre Campbell, the veteran. He wants to get his touches. He's not trying to ruffle any feathers. If you're Nick Sorensen, new guy on the block, getting his first opportunity as defensive coordinator, doesn't want to go with a young player and put all his faith in a young, you know, linebacker and D-winner, so we're going to go with the veteran. And that bit him in the ass. And that veteran quit on the team. And you know what? That was, in hindsight, Joe, that whole Devondre Campbell situation, how it culminated in him quitting on the team, that was probably the nail in the coffin for Nick Sorensen. Was it not?
Like, it was one of them.
How did you not
know?
Here's
the other one.
He was awful all season.
Here's the other one. Well, and Brandon Staley was a part of that staff.
Yes.
They had a guy on the field for the Saints, Isaac Yiadom, who the Niners just continued to throw at over and over. You could make the argument he was the best player for the Niners in the first half, and he was wearing a Saints uniform. He's terrible.
He's awful.
So I go, like, Saleh is clearly picking the appropriate personnel. The staff is putting them in a position to make plays. You're seeing Nick Bosa early in games hit quarterbacks, and you're seeing him late in games hit quarterbacks. He's going to have close to 20 sacks. Like, just chalk that up.
By the way, a lot happening in the Bay Area right now. Niners, victory Monday, moved to 2-0. They got their first game at home next week against the division rival Arizona Cardinals. We'll talk about that later on in the week. I promise it's going to be a massive game. Both those teams 2-0 heading into it makes it that much bigger. But obviously yesterday, at the same time the Niners were kicking off, The Valkyries are getting ready for their first ever playoff game against the Minnesota Lynx. I know. We'll get to it at
Why
some point.
Why are they starting WNBA games on Football Sunday?
Makes zero sense.
You just do it during the week. You have the week to yourself, and it just doesn't make sense.
Well, good thing for the Valkyries, no one watched that game because the Minnesota Lynx absolutely destroyed them. 101-72, the final. But pivot, don't panic, Joe. Ballhalla going to be in action tomorrow, albeit down at SAP Center in San Jose. But it's going to be loud. It's going to be raucous. And let's get a win. It's a best of three series. So you have to win it. It's a must-win situation. But I would love for this team to get a win in their first ever season in a playoff game. Like, this is, you know, and they might lose the series. The Minnesota Lynx might win the whole damn thing. They're the best team in all of WNBA. They're amazing. But if they were able to win tomorrow, that would be a successful season. It already is. But Natalie Nicasse, I thought, you know, yesterday she was going at the refs. I was like, hard to go at the refs when you lose by 29. I knew what she was trying to do, kind of set the tone to do a little Zen master, a little Phil Jackson, try to get the refs, you know, get a little work that. But
yes, to your point, Joe, too.
Yeah, that was not good. Also, if we're talking about other Bay Area news, obviously the Niners are the biggest, but Bryce Eldridge getting called up.
Yeah, but you lost two out of three of the Dodgers, and you had an opportunity.
I know.
You had an opportunity to take at least, you know, be right there in the wild card with the Mets and the Reds. And
Logan Webb and Robbie Ray.
They got out hit. I mean, they just straight up out hit. And they didn't have enough arms, and it's just, it's frustrating.
Verlander looked good, though. Verlander,
great.
He did. He got a win.
No, I know. And
that's why it's
Bailey, the Bailey game from Friday night feels so long ago.
It does. But we're talking about the 49ers. When we're talking good vibes today, Joe. Now the 49ers are the good vibes right now.
You know, like, getting back to Mac Jones, we were sold on Brandon Allen. You know, he backed up Joe Burrow.
Who was ever sold on? I was never sold on Brandon Allen. Pre-game show, Joe Spadoni was never sold on him. I thought he stunk.
I agree. Do you think I liked him?
No.
There is something to be said when you start 50 games. Like, they said Mac has started 50 games. I was like, damn, 50?
50.
He started 50 games.
80.
But you could see the guy's got arm talent, and he looked really good, and I liked it. I think it just buys them more time with Brock in the toe and the foot to make sure it's 100% healthy.
26 of 39, 279 yards through the air yesterday. Three touchdowns for Mac. Did have the lost fumble. And he had another fumble. It was a missed exchange. Him and McCaffrey, I don't know who that was on.
I think he tried to pull that back out on McCaffrey at the last second, and McCaffrey was trying to, like, take it from him. They clearly don't have enough reps. That was the last time. Let me give you guys some. 275, meaning throw for 275 yards, three touchdowns, and no picks. Now, he did have the fumble, but no picks is the one. The last time Brock did that was against Philadelphia, in Philadelphia in 2023. That is a little surprising. It's like, damn.
It is. But also, you know, run first. Like, this isn't a pass-heavy team. So, like, the leading reception getter was Christian McCaffrey with six. But that also was a part of this game.
Oh, they spread it around.
They spread it around.
I was impressed.
That was when you talk Tom Brady, and again, Shassi's not comparing Mac Jones to Tom Brady. No one's doing that. But it's Brady-esque when you have Juwan getting five receptions, Ricky Pearsall getting four, Christian McCaffrey getting six, Kendrick Bourne off the street getting three. Jake Tonchus making more plays again. Jake Tonchus.
Luke Farrell, first ever
NFL touchdown.
It's a great play action play fake, too, by Mac Jones on that play. No, I've long said, and it's kind of like a joke, but like, the number one receiver is the open player in the offense.
Yes.
That's how they want to play football. And like, again, like, Brock's awesome. He's the franchise quarterback. But it does make me think over and over again, like, with Shanahan as the coach, I mean, are you better off just, like, spreading the money around on this team? Again, with Shanahan as the coach and just platooning the quarterback situation financially. I know it sounds nuts.
Yeah.
I know. But this is a unique spot. Would you agree? This offense is very unique.
It's very unique.
A lot of guys look really good in this offense, and then they go elsewhere, and they don't look anything like that.
We're also talking about, again, we keep talking about the New Orleans Saints, and they have some good players, but they are going to be one of the worst teams we look back on this season.
Look, and say, Joe, it's about Jimmy and Joe's, not just X's and O's.
Yes.
But there is something about a Shanahan offense where you're out a Hall of Fame tight end. All right, we'll make it work. You're out Brandon Ayuk. All right, we'll make it work. You're out your starting left guard. All right, we'll make it work. We're out your franchise quarterback, got $150 million. All right, we'll throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns. Like, this is why Shanahan's great.
He is, and that's why I love the 49ers no matter what heading into this one, because they had Kyle Shanahan And he's going up against a first-time ever head coach in Kellen Moore and a guy that's never won a game as a starting quarterback in the NFL, Spencer Rattler. Which leads us now to the Golden State Valkyries' strongest player of the game, brought to you by El Camino Health, our strength, your health. And yes, I mentioned it. It was a rough playoff debut for the Valkyries, falling 101-72 in Minnesota versus the Lynx. It was all Valks early, though, thanks in part to Veronica Burton.
Inbounds pass goes to Timmy Fagbentley. Hands it back to Burton. Left quarter three in the air. And good! 9-4 Golden State. It's a 7-0 run. And Veronica with two threes already.
Kevin Dan on the call right here on 95-7 the game. 14 points and 7 assists for Burton. Valks will have a chance to even the series at one game all at SAP Center this Wednesday. That was the strongest player in the game, brought to you by El Camino Health. Our strength, your health. Don't worry, we'll be rocking our Valks jersey when it's game day. Absolutely. And we're going to be hearing from the people all week long on that. I want to hear from the people right now as the 49ers improve to 2-0 on the season. Mac Jones, hey, looked pretty good. We're not saying there's a quarterback controversy, but if you want to be careful with your guy that you invested all that money and $200+ million in, Brock Purdy, why not let Mac go a little bit longer if you need him to? Just saying. 888-957-9570. That's what's coming out the game. It's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They're so sensitive. Like, okay, great example. Is Tom Brady one of the greatest players ever?
He's the greatest. In my opinion, he's the greatest player ever.
Okay. Yes. And yes. In the pocket, he's
maestro.
He's exactly. Yes. Maestro is exactly. Yes. He's not fast at all. No. Oh, you're dissing the... No, I'm just like, I'm breaking down the player. Like, you know, like, is Steph Curry a physical freak that... You can't post up in the block. No. You can actually post him up in the block, and he's gotten better defensively over the years because he's put in the work. But yeah, it's not a strong suit of his.
No.
Can get crossed up at times, and yeah, get back down. Like, guys have strengths and weaknesses. So when you credit somebody independent of another player, that doesn't mean you're dissing the other player. Mac played great yesterday. It's a great game. No. Do it again.
Right.
You know, do it over 17 games for multiple years. You know, do it in the playoffs. Like, that's what separates the really, really good players. You know, the question that I'm having right now this morning on a guy who I think is a really good player is Joe Burrow. And I'm saying, can this guy ever stay healthy?
Well, he's labeled now. We could all just call it what it is. He's injury prone. It's the worst thing you can say about a player, athlete, whatever.
Well,
I know everyone's sensitive about that, which I don't know why, really, because we've been using that phrase forever in sports. But now recently, it's like, oh, it's unfair to the player. Now he gets hurt all the time.
But is it
Sorry.
Also? But
he does.
Was Andrew Luck injury prone?
No, Andrew Luck, that was more of a failure to me when it came to offensive line building, and he just got punch drunk. But that being said, I do believe Andrew Luck put his body in harm's way a lot more early on in his career than he probably needed to. That being said, that was more of a failure, in my opinion, to the GM at the time of the Indianapolis Colts, failing to protect his quarterback and his number one overall pick investment.
Do you think the Bengals are not doing that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think highly of the Bengals overall as an organization. They have really good players. They've also been penny-pinching on cash. But I guess the point that I'm going at is that, you know, like, Joe Burrow's awesome, and there's questions about him. Big questions about his health long term. And that's what happens. Like, Lamar Jackson is one of the greatest players the game has ever seen.
Yeah.
There are major questions on him in the playoffs when it's crunch time. So all these guys have questions. Mac had a great game yesterday.
He did.
That's independent of Brock Purdy. So if you're feeling some kind of way about whatever that speaks to of Brock Purdy, that's probably on you. Now, I think that we all see when you invest as much as they did into Brock Purdy, he's your guy. Duh. But boy, Mac playing as well as he did yesterday, it makes you think. It makes you think about a lot of things. It makes you think, hey, I don't have to rush back Brock Purdy, given that Mac's playing real well. Now, if Mac throws a stinker up against the Arizona Cardinals and they lose a game, you're like, yeah, let's get Brock in there ASAP. There was a point in time where Elvis Gerback came in and stepped in for Steve Young and looked admirable. And people thought that he could be a starter around the league. And then he got his opportunity. Yeah. And then after playing a lot, he kind of got exposed. And he was okay.
Exactly.
But he wasn't, you know, the promise of what everyone thought he did. So, like, there's a reason why Mac was available for the price point that he was this year, but he does look like a really good fit in Shanahan's system. I thought it was a great game for him yesterday.
Well, and that's why I said last week, and people are coming down my lane, people are saying I was smoking crack or whatever, saying that Mac Jones could be a starter in this league right now. He absolutely could be a starter in this league. Yeah, have you seen some of the starting quarterbacks around there? God love Bryce Young.
Crack, crack, crack.
Bad. Bad. Awful. Shout out my guy Hunter Renfrow for getting two touchdowns for them yesterday, but that there's just a lot of bad quarterback play, and there's a lot of bad coaching in the NFL right now. Like, even if you get, you know, the Ben Johnsons of the world, who we all agreed on this time last year, oh, he's the number one coaching candidate. This guy knows his stuff when it comes to offenses, X's and O's. How's it looking for him in Chicago right now with what was once dubbed one of the greatest quarterback prospects ever in Caleb Williams? Not looking very good.
I mean, there's questions about when he might get benched.
Exactly. So it's this whole thing when it comes to quarterback trajectory or any player. It's not linear. It could be. It's a roller coaster ride, Joe. Up and down and
Russell
up and down.
Russell Wilson was considered a first shot, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer, and then he wasn't. And so anyway,
well, just look how we're looking at Russ in 2 weeks.
I know.
First week was awful. Bench him for Jackson Dart, and he looked incredible yesterday.
It's this sport. It's
like,
this sport.
Exactly. So
it's this sport. But just because I'm giving Mac some flowers this morning doesn't mean I'm taking him away from Brock Purdy.
And I want to hear from the people on Mac Jones and what they thought of his performance yesterday.
I will say, like, I'm like Mac, I was down on you for years. You shut me up for a couple weeks.
Well, a week. Let's see. Yeah. Let's see.
Well, no, like the week leading into it, I was optimistic and let's see where it goes. And like, look, he played great yesterday, but this is the way the NFL works. Do it again.
That's how it always is. Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Kind of how I feel about Oreo Cookie when he calls
in. Hey, Oreo.
He'll call in, and then I say, do it again, Oreo. Oreo, how are you feeling about the Niners being 2-0 this morning?
What's up, fellas? Happy very, very 2-0 Monday. You feel me? It's great to be 2-0. Alternative is worse. But before I start, man, real quick, I just want to give a shout-out to myself. Today I turned 45.
Oh, happy birthday.
1980. Thank you very much. And I do also want to say that I called it out a few weeks ago, the three people that are in our circle of trust.
Okay.
We got Lynch. We got Kyle, and we got Salah. So, first one, Lynch. Man, he picked up the wide receiver. What's his name? I can't remember his name, but he came in and had a good catch.
Kendrick Bourne.
Kendrick Bourne, thank you.
Bourne identity.
Our left guard went down, and we were like, oh, no. The other guy stepped up, and he did pretty good. So, shout out to Lynch.
Mm.
Salah, his defense. Hey, man, Winters is balling. You know, Warner, the one of the plays of the year, that was incredible. Way to not give up. And then we got our boy Kyle. Kyle is the quarterback whisperer. So let me get this off real quick. Back then, they didn't want me, not with Kyle. They all loaned me. Back then, they didn't want me, not with Kyle. They all loaned me. Mac Jones, who?
Hey, it's Mike Jones. Hope Mike Jones. We had it ready.
Let's go.
Wait, do you have the one that we made? Did you get the remix
Mac
going?
Mac Jones.
Oh, my. It's Oreo Cookie.
Who?
Hey.
Who?
Hope Mike Jones.
He does have.
Who?
Mac Jones.
You're way too proud of that. But again, he does play with swagger. Nick Bosa talked about it after. He's like, yeah, you know. You know, it's kind of weird, man, when you have a backup quarterback with that much swagger. But it's true. And I know he is, by definition, a backup quarterback. And he was a backup last year, so it's what have you done for me lately. This is a guy, though, that did, like, start a lot of games and did
50
as a rookie. He took his team to the playoffs.
Like, I know.
I don't scoff at things like that. I know
either.
A lot of us want to poo-poo it, and it's the same thing we do with Sam Darnold, who, by the way, got a big win yesterday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He did look good. He had another Sam Darnold type of play where he, like, threw it up, and Cam Hayward made an incredible play. But that happens. That's the Sam Darnold effect. But Can we not judge these guys by their lowest moments? That's what we like to do in society always, is judge people by their lowest moments. And I'm always a guy that's going to be cautiously optimistic just by nature, Joe. So I'm not going to judge Mac Jones by his lowest moment, which was probably him as a quarterback for the New England Patriots when Chandler Jones for the Raiders stiff-armed him with that horrible, you know, hook and ladder type play when everyone was laughing at him with no time left on the clock. Like, I get it. That's probably going to be the image for a lot of people going forward. But he has a chance in these next few weeks to kind of rewrite that. And I'm rooting for the guy. Well, I am.
There is something to be said for going through the, what are they called, the trials and tribulations at the professional level. You know, Steve Young has talked a lot about he would never have been the player that he ended up being without the years in Tampa Bay struggling.
Yes.
Struggling. It made him appreciate his situation more, and it also gave him perspective on, you know, what he had going, and it also taught him how to not do too much out on the field and rely on your teammates. And not everyone is blessed into that. Like, I think Patrick Mahomes is learning right now, like, boy, I don't have a lot of help around me. You know, the NFL that I jumped into in 2018, where I'm throwing to Tyreek, who's in his prime, and Kelsey in his prime, and Hunt in his prime, is we're putting up 50 every game, and I'm throwing for 100 yards and 50 touchdowns. Like, that's not the real NFL.
First time in Patrick Mahomes' career, he's 0-2.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.